And a very happy Thursday morning, everybody. Thursday, December 22nd, 2022. It's Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by The Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. I am Tom Drake. I know that because it's right here on my computer screen in front of me. We have just arrived in St. Bart's, the playground of the rich. It's a little windy out there, so it might be a bumpy tender ride. For those people that didn't hear the update yesterday, we do tender in the St. Bart's. There's not a pier available. There never will be a pier available because the island is surrounded by shallow reefs. And no wonder the environmentalists will never let those reefs be destroyed to allow some Americans come roaring in there and tear up their island. So we do tender in, and a lot of first-time cruises. I mean, very first cruise. And they're in for a bit of a surprise. If they've ever had a bumpy tender ride, they'll look at each other going, whose idea was this? We'll be going ashore, though, because this is where they have the French restaurant. I think it's French. It's French Island, La Reverie. And my wife says they have the best risotto she's ever had around the world, so we're going in no matter what happens. I normally talk about the island, but I wore it out yesterday. Told you all about St. Bart. So I went to my backup plan, which is what happened on this day. I always like to see what happened on this day. I'm a fan of history because I slept through school. And on this day in 2001, Richard Reed attempted to destroy a passenger airline by lighting explosives hidden in his shoes. You know him. It was Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, and also the moron, because it didn't work, thankfully. So he's in jail somewhere. After Richard Reed, he tried his shoes. Then we had another guy who tried his underwear. He was the underwear bomber. True story, he put plastic explosives in his underwear, hoping to blow himself up and spend the rest of his life with 72 virgins. Of course, I said at the time, if you plan on spending your life with 72 virgins, you might want to reconsider the position of that bomb. You know what I'm saying, babe? He should have put the bomb in the back, because it didn't explode. It just caught on fire. In the back, they would have thought another bad meal on Delta. Okay, move on, Tom. There should be a rim shot after that. Before I get to the update, I am struggling to decide where I'm going to go with the brand of this show. People that have seen it on social media know that I brought out the duck. If you're not, you wouldn't be familiar with the duck, but 30 years ago, I was on the radio in Fort Myers, Florida, and someone designed that duck logo because a drake is a male duck. So that's the correlation there, and I do quack sometimes when I'm drinking heavily. So I might go with the duck reading the newspaper, or I might go with the guy in the chair smoking a cigar, even though I don't smoke cigars. My graphic designer, his name is Dan. He's from Jersey. He's brilliant. He thought I should have a cigar. So I don't know. Maybe he's part Cuban. I don't know. So I haven't decided yet, but for now, I think we're going to go with the duck. And I think what's going to happen sometimes, if I'm rambling on, I'm going to let the duck stop me. We'll see what happens. Because we need more silly in this program. It's become too serious lately. I mean, I'm not a serious guy. Let's get to the update. There's the duck. All right, I ran out of time yesterday to tell you that the Norwegian Dawn is celebrating 20 years in service this month. So what? Well, there's a story behind it. Because the Norwegian Dawn wasn't supposed to be the Norwegian Dawn. It was supposed to be the Superstar Scorpio. Because at the time the Dawn was built, NCL was owned by who else? Lim Kok Tae from Genting, Hong Kong. They owned NCL at the time. They owned Star Cruises. And they were building the Dawn, but they were building it to be the Superstar Scorpio. But they decided that the NCL needed a new ship. So they gave that ship to Norwegian. It became the Norwegian Dawn. 2,200 guests. It's kind of an old-fashioned build in that it doesn't have all the roller coasters and rock climbing walls and ice skating rinks. It just has nice food and service. It's a good size, 2,200. It has 10 dining venues because that's one of the first ships that had the, what do they call, freestyle cruising, where you could go eat whenever you wanted to eat. You didn't have assigned seating. And so 20 years in service, it's been refurbished. They actually wrote this in the press release, refurbished. They didn't go reimaging. It was refurbished in 2016, and it's doing 10 and 11 a day, 11 night, actually, Caribbean cruises from Tampa. It sails out of Tampa, and a good friend of ours is on there in the cast. Okay, now, I mentioned yesterday, I have to be careful with my words. I don't want to use the words war, because there is a war going on in the Ukraine, and many of our crew members and staff are from the Ukraine. So let's just say battle. In fact, I look for, if I could find somebody to do, let's get ready to rumble, because as I mentioned yesterday, coming up in the next year and a half, all hell's going to break loose in the United States between cruise lines, because Norwegian and Princess and Celebrity and Royal Caribbean, they're all looking for that domestic and Carnival. And guess who's coming in? MSC Cruises. And as I mentioned, they're coming in a big way. They announced yesterday that they are in negotiations to build their own terminal in Galveston. They already are, this next year, will be sailing out of Port Canaveral, out of New York, where they want to build a terminal, and out of Miami, where they are building a terminal, and now they want to build a terminal in Galveston. And people say to me all the time on the ship, who's MSC? Well, they're a massive shipping company, you know, freighters kind of thing, and they got into the cruise business, and they presently have 21 ships in the water. And you go, really? I didn't know that. No, they've been mostly around the world, but they're coming, and the battle will have, give it a year, maybe 15, 16 months, and boy, oh boy, will you see some discounting going on. Even though they say they don't, they will. Everybody's going to be fighting for that family minivan market with the kids and all that good stuff. So if you live in Galveston, how about that? That's more business for the city of Galveston. That's construction, there's jobs there, and then once they build a terminal, baggage handlers and Uber drivers and check-in people. And the people from MSC said they like Galveston. It's a very popular home port for cruising. I talked to some guests this cruise. They live in Houston, and they said it's only about 60 miles, maybe 70 miles from Houston to Galveston. So, and what's happening now, too, they used to just do the Caribbean-Mexico run, you know, Cozumel and Costa Maya. They're starting to go 11, Royal Caribbean is going to do 11 and 12, I think even 14-day cruises out of Galveston, going to other than Mexico. So it's going to get hot there. How about that, huh? That's good news for MSC. Carnival didn't have very good news. Their fourth quarter earnings report. There's no way to hide it. It just wasn't very good. It wasn't good. They lost, I don't have the number in front of me. Listen, if you have stock in Carnival, you read up on it. Bottom line is, they went down for about $1 billion in the fourth quarter that they lost. But, oh, here it is, at adjusted net loss of $1.1 billion or 85 cents per share. But they say it's getting better. The bookings are up, everything is up, but not necessarily that much. They have some work to do. You know, Carnival, if you're not familiar, is a big-time corporation. They own P&O, they own Princess, they own Holland America, they own Seaboard, they own Costa, they own Carnival. There's a lot of ships out there with a lot of beds that they're trying to fill all at once, coming back from a pandemic, and they went in to hock up their Carnival to stay afloat in the first place, and they've dumped ships, and now they're about to dump more ships. They're dumping some Costa ships. I mentioned this more than once about Costa. They don't know what to do with Costa. Someone mentioned to me because of what happened to the Concordia, but that was 11 years ago. They still haven't figured out what Costa is, I guess. I mean, they have one ship that's going now out of Dubai, down there to that market, but they are selling two more Costa ships. There's another ship they're selling. They're not going to tell anybody. They said two are under contract, and the third one is being worked on, according to the chief financial officer, David Bernstein. Again, if you have a stock in Carnival, then you read up on this and decide what you want to do. But boy, oh boy, of the three major players that are public, because MSC is a private company, that are public, NCL Holdings and Royal Caribbean Group and the Carnival Corporation, I think Carnival's struggling the most, but I have no experience to say that to you. But according to what I'm reading right here, when they dump the three more, that means they've gotten rid of 26 ships throughout the fleet, all the companies, since the pandemic. Now, that's not such a bad thing, because some of the ships they got rid of were old tanks. And you know, with the sustainability, we have to be green and we have to be net zero emissions. These ships were never going to get net zero. They burned bunker fuel and spewed black smoke when they were going down the highway there, the highway of the sea, I should say. So they're getting ready for two reasons, and they're not very fuel efficient. I mean, they're burning fuel like crazy, so get rid of it, because they have new ships coming down the peak. However, Josh Weinstein, who's now the CEO of Carnival Corporation, said this is the smallest amount of ships on order they've ever had. They only have five ships coming out between now and 2025. That's across the entire fleet. But you know why? They got plenty of ships. It's time to fill them. It's time to put people in there. And you know what they need to do? They need to figure out how to get these... I will applaud the sales force at Oceania this morning. I hardly do that. We have 200 first-time Oceania guests. Now, of those 200, maybe 30 are first-time cruisers. So the others are shopping. They're looking around. They're coming here from Holland America Celebrity and seeing if they want a small ship, because we only carry 500-600 guests. We're not like these behemoths that we sail along with. So the Oceania sales force did a heck of a job here, but if you want to do any research into this, you can go to the Cruise Line Industry Association, and your jaw will drop when you realize that only 30 million people will cruise this year. And that's U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, 30 million people. And I've said it before on this, and the numbers aren't exactly correct, but I think 70 million people, more than that, will come to Orlando this year for three amusement parks, and we don't even have whales anymore. They took them away. All right. I should have the quack sound there. Move on, Tommy. I love reading this story. Oh, boy, oh, boy. This was exciting to read. The islands of Tahiti are trying to shut down tourism a little at a time because their nose is in the air like so many other places. I'm going to be very blunt. Many guests that go to Tahiti enjoy it. I think it's one of the most boring places in the history of the free world. There is no infrastructure. There aren't any really decent restaurants. Tahiti, as a good friend of mine, Pete, once said, I won't say what he said about it. It wasn't a positive thing. It's Papeete, I should say. Not Tahiti. Papeete is not the greatest destination. Getting there on Air Tahiti Nui is a pain in the neck. But yet, they believe what they have, everybody wants. And maybe they're right, because they said that this year, 285,534 tourists will visit Tahiti. In 2019, it was 236,000. Everybody drinks the Kool-Aid when they see the movies featuring, you know, Bora Boring and Moorea. And look, if you're my age and you don't snorkel or scuba and you just want to go have lunch, there's nothing. It's nice. The water, as we said one time when I was down there, there was nothing to brag about. We said, the water is very blue. It's very blue water. When people come back, they said, how was Tahiti? The water was very blue, because otherwise, the infrastructure is non-existent. Fakarava, French Polynesia, is you can't even use the word non. It's just, so anyway, they don't want as many ships coming in now, and they're putting stops in place. They're talking about there can only be one person for each person that live on the island, based on population. There's a lot of things going on there, so look into it. If you haven't been there and you want to check it off on your bucket list, I don't know why you would. If you can go to South Florida, if you can go to the west coast of Florida, to Sarasota, Bradenton, or further down to Marco Island, the water is very blue there, and you can fly there domestic and not get a headache. But we'll see what happens. So they're going to try to limit the ships. They're going to try to limit the people. And good luck on that. Am I long today? Am I short today? I'm very short today. I was trying to be short today because, you know what? It's the holiday week and everybody's busy. And I've noticed that my views and downloads have dropped. And I took that personal until I realized that you people have a life. So you're probably like, you know what? Let's just save it. And after the holidays, we'll sit down and we'll listen to the guy quack. All right. By the way, this podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts. What a pain in the ass that was. But it's on Apple Podcasts. It's on everything but Google Podcasts. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Samsung Podcasts. It's on your mama's podcast. You can pretty much find it everywhere. And it is called Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, with the emphasis on podcast. And if you ever had your podcast, woo boy. All right. Have a good Thursday. Friday already. Now, normally I say Friday, the end of the week, but not this show. This show is 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Don't ask me why. Probably because I went to Bora Bora once and it affected me. Have a great Thursday.